This is Solo Travel Talk. Your solo travel advisor is Astrid Clements.
Okay, Astrid, here's the concept. I'm going to hand you some chunks of time, and you, our solo travel advisor, are going to come up with solo travel plans to fit those times. Really kind of the big picture theme. This is for us to learn how to make the most out of whatever time frame we have to get into travel. Okay, let's start with 3 hours. How would you plan?
No, wait a minute.
Okay.
Listeners, before we get into this very thought-provoking podcast, I want to share how wonderful I think my Solo Travel Talk producer, Catherine O'Brien, is. I mean, she's always coming up with interesting show formats to highlight, you know, the travel themes and topics that I want to share. And I think this show is definitely, it's a very innovative format for people to think about. I mean, granted, time, we all have time constraints. So you got to think about, you know, how am I going to make the most of this or that or whatever. But, you know, in the intro, she challenged me, was I up to the task of zeroing in on how to tackle solo travel destinations based on different time constraints? It's how do you experience and capture its essence in each time frame, do the things that suit your interest, and have a good time. Catherine, yeah. I love a challenge, so here goes.
Perfect.
Okay, so as far as the big picture, just a very few couple of things that you, this is kind of like the foundation or basics. Number one, wherever you travel, you really should seek to experience the culture and its uniqueness. You can go places and miss the heart of what makes it special. You can kind of get a feel, but you never really get it. But so each time that you travel and the more you travel, and especially as a solo traveler, you have more opportunity to do that because you're not worried about what your, you know, significant other or a husband or, you know, your group wants to do and you're having to trade off. You can really, you can do whatever you want to do. Okay. But seek to really try to get into the essence of a culture. Because it'll make your trip a lot better. Secondly, of course you want to do and see what you're interested in, not just the sightseeing. And I want people, when they travel, to start thinking about, you know, I love gardening, so why don't I go to the botanical gardens? Why don't I do a garden tour? Why don't I, you know, maybe I even would go to a flower show or whatever. Same thing with art, you know, take some art classes or, you know, visit the art galleries, go to the art museums. Don't just do the must-dos or the sightseeing. Balance your trip with really what you like and the must-dos. This to me is also very important to making a trip really good. Third, what are you in the mood for? I mean, you know, do you want to relax or you want adventure? You want, you know, skydiving, kayaking, whitewater rafting, whatever. Or do you want this to be a food oriented kind of experience? Or maybe you just need retail therapy and you want to go to New York City and blow it out. But, you know, you need to think about what are you in the mood for. Just don't plan a trip. If you're burnt out and then you're going somewhere where you have to do all kinds of stuff, I mean, I'm telling you, it from the very beginning, it's not going to be really what you're in the mood for. So think about that before you even decide where you want to go. And then last, it's that bad word, budget. No. What's your budget? I mean, this really is a key part of any successful trip. So, you know, think real concrete on really should I spend this money? How much money do I have to spend? Do I need to save some money, etc.? So those are the really the key foundation points that I think are important for any trip, whether it's 3 hours, 3 weeks, 3 days, or 3 months. A little bit more on that theme, and then I'll answer that first question. Okay. Along the lines of the big picture themes is four key things. You can't or shouldn't forget your pre-trip planning things that you need to execute to have an enriching solo travel experience. This is very important because if you just go off, you're going to miss half of what you want to do because you haven't thought everything through, or something's going to happen at home that you forgot to do. Or there are a lot of key little things can take a trip that should have been perfect and mess it up. So first, I can't stress this enough. Pre-planning research. What there's to do, see, eat, stay, shop. I mean, as much as you can do, the better. Because most people don't do enough of it. And I like to really stress this, because the more you plan and kind of be organized in your thoughts and know what there is to do and what you want to do, the better the trip will be. Also, you need to know do's and don'ts about traveling to a particular destination. I mean, it's very different to travel to the Far East than to travel in Mexico. So you have to kind of know the cultural do's and don'ts, the etiquette do's and don'ts, safety do's and don'ts. I mean, you need to know this as a solo traveler before you go anywhere. Google. I mean, get all this information, just Google away. My poor laptop computer. I have Googled so much, I'm surprised Google says, get away. You're just running me crazy. But I love to Google, and I find lots of great information Googling. But also, you know, your travel magazines, publications, books, you know, that kind of thing is good. You need to do that. And even, you know, books on travel in terms of like travel novels and biographies, et cetera. All of those are good to get familiar with and to get as much information as possible. And then last, what I love so much is YouTube videos. Mm-hmm. You go and Google cool things to do in New York City on YouTube. You know, what I do is I put YouTube cool things to do in New York City. Whew, you will come up with all kinds of videos, from travel bloggers to travel companies to National Geographic. I mean, you will find excellent quality videos, informative videos, mediocre videos, and poor videos. And you just click out of the bad ones. But you get a lot of good information because you get to, well, first of all, learn about the topic that you're Googling about. And I even Google things like YouTube shopping in Istanbul, or YouTube 10 best hotels in Belgium, in Brussels, or something like that. You get so much information, and then you get to see it, and you really decide, I like this, or no, I don't like this. Pictures or photographs are good, but they can be deceiving. With videos, you start really getting immersed. Plus, you start getting a sense of the feel of a place and its culture. So that's all really good to do with your pre-trip research to decide what you want to do and what you must do. Okay? Then number two, you got to figure out, you know, your hotel and your flight. You want to get the best prices. So I suggest number one, to bundle it. Every time you can bundle your flight and your hotel, do it. Because especially if you go through Expedia, I mean, and, you can go through it on my website in the bottom footer if you want to, but you save money. Like you can't save it anywhere else. So, and there are other sites that bundle, but, I love Expedia personally. And, that is a very good, you know, planning tip that I suggest. On top of, make sure your hotel is located by most of the things you want to do. Because ideally, as a solo traveler, if you can walk places, you're going to save money, you're going to get your exercise, and you're going to avoid those horrible taxis or whatever. So, and you'll save time. So you want your hotel to be well located. You don't want to be in a beautiful, affordable hotel that takes you an hour and a half to get into most of the things you want to do, and then hour and a half back, and you're finding yourself, you know, at night in an Uber or on the metro or whatever. So location, location, location. Okay. Then number three, you have to decide what's the best time for you to go, if you have the choice, okay? And there are things like, a lot of times people don't think about this, but just the weather in itself can be a key factor. I mean, you don't want to go somewhere when it's hurricane season or monsoon season or it's extremely hot and humid in Africa, or it's freezing cold. It's so cold you can't even breathe when you walk out of the hotel. I mean, all of those things, unless you don't mind it, you know, you need to be prepared for. Then also, during certain times of the years in certain places, there might be special events that you really want to go to, you know, or festivals, art shows, different things. So that is a thing that you want to think about, you know. If you've always wanted to, say, in New Orleans, go to Mardi Gras, come during Mardi Gras. It's well, the weather is great then, but the bottom line is it's better than if you just come in September. I mean, you'll love New Orleans, but the bottom line is, you know, you might want to decide to come during a special event, okay? Then also in terms of budgeting, high or low season. I mean, when you travel in the low season, you get much better hotel prices and flights, etc. Now there's other you know, probably reasons. I mean, might be, here again, really hot or really cold. There might be a reason why, but you can usually get at the beginning of those low seasons or at the end, kind of when the shoulder season starts, and still get some really good prices. Plus, you know. Well, I'll go into another thing later. Okay. Then the next thing is packing. I mean, you want to pack just what you need. Because first of all, less is more. That you just sear that in your mind, ladies, when you're packing. I know it's so hard, especially for me, and I've been doing this over 40 years. But you'll be so happy that you have acquired this type of packing mantra. But it's you know, it's real important, because you know, having too much is going to be burdensome, and you're not going to need it, and you can wear things more than once and get them cleaned, or you know, you can buy what you need. So no, really and truly, yeah. I mean, you know, things are pretty much affordable now most everywhere. So if you forgot a raincoat, you can get a little, you know, topper or whatever for $5-$10. A little slicker, that'll be fine, you know. So the bottom line is you gotta pack smart, or what I call artful packing. And I do have a packing list that you can download from my website, which is Astrid Solo Travel Advisor. URL is astridtravel.com, that will help you pack and pack wisely. Then the number fifth thing, which is, this takes a lot of, you know, I mean, you got to do a lot of these little things that I'm getting ready to say, and it takes time to not forget something that is really critical that could throw your whole trip off. But there are pre-trip home to-do things that you must do, like securing your home. You know, if you're going to stay away for a while, do you need a house sitter? I mean, how is your home going to be safe, okay? stop the newspaper, stop the mail, then, you know, your banking and your financial task. I mean, you need to let your bank know, or you need to make sure you've got enough money in your bank account, and, you know, your credit cards know where you're going to be. And, you know, how you're going to work the ATM, which ones work here and not work here to get, you know, your cash out of the ATM machines. There are a lot of things like that you have to think about. Then who's going to pay your bills? I mean, is somebody going to get the bills if you stop the mail, or how is this going to work? So you don't have to worry about that. And you come home and you get, you know, a bad notice saying you're one month late, 3 months late, foreclosed. I mean, not that you would do that, but you have, this takes time to organize. I mean, I've had to, you know, get my CPA to do my bills for me and get this, that, and the other. I mean, it does take some coordination to do. Then if you have pets, what are you going to do with your pets? Can you bring your pet, or do you have to board your pet? Or are you going to let your parents take care of your pet or your friends? I mean, you have to provide for that. And, you know, then you've got trip details that you definitely want your loved ones to know about, where you're going to be, how to get in contact with you, if something happens, blah, blah. So all of these things you need to take care of and do before you go on any trip, basically. Yeah. Some are a little bit more, you have to do more of them. But this is what I wanted to share really before, you know, we get into it. Because, if you, one of them that was critical you don't do, then your trip won't be as good.
Okay, you said you were up for a challenge. And this one may seem silly, but there's a little inspiration behind it. If somebody wanted to take a 3-hour solo travel adventure, can you do it, Astrid?
Okay. Well, ironically, I think this time frame is the most challenging. You really need to be prepared to know exactly what you want to do and how you're going to make it happen, like clockwork. And Catherine, for this show, I've decided that I'm going to showcase New Orleans as the target destination for each of these time designations. And I've chosen this city because, first of all, I'm from Louisiana and I really know New Orleans quite well. And I think it's a fabulous solo travel destination, whether it's for 3 hours, three days, 3 weeks, or 3 months. New Orleans is the bomb. I mean, it is so happening now that it is beautiful, it's vibrant, it's historic, it's cool. I mean, New Orleans is really great. So I'm going to use New Orleans basically as my example to illustrate what I'm talking about. So most solo travelers who have 3 hours someplace, it's really in connection usually with business travel, or you've got a long layover and you don't want to sit in the airport all day. So that's usually what 3 hours is all about. It's rare that somebody's going to, you know, get on a private jet and fly an hour to eat somewhere and come back. But that's really not getting to the essence of the place, like I talked about at the very beginning. To just travel somewhere and do one or two of the sightseeing must-dos, I mean, that's great. But it's really not as great as if you get into the culture and the essence of the place as well as seeing the must-dos. So, you know, New Orleans is really one of the oldest, most culturally rich cities in the U.S. So to get your quick fix of the Big Easy, as they call New Orleans, this is how I would tackle 3 hours. Okay, if you're at the airport, take, you know, Uber or a cab and head straight to the French Quarter. Tell them you'll go to Jackson Square. And if you're on business in a hotel, same thing. You know, if your hotel's closed, get in a pedicab, or if you know how to get to Jackson Square, go to Jackson Square. It's the heart of the French Quarter. It's really where everything started. Around this square are some very old historic buildings called the Cabildo. Excuse me, I had a brain freeze. Cabildo. But these are colonnade old buildings that have art galleries, shops, restaurants in them. And it's there. It just shows you the eclecticism right there of New Orleans, the history, the beautiful architecture, the food, the art galleries, the little boutiques, and then also in Jackson Square. Well, it's beautiful, first of all, so it's wonderful to take photographs. You've got street musicians, you've got people tap dancing, mimes, playing, you know, the second line going down. I mean, everything. There's music in the air in Jackson Square, as well as there are a lot of artists there, some quite good that will do your portrait, that have other artwork to sell, some more expensive than others. You got fortune tellers around there. I mean, it's just always full of life. So spend about 45 minutes, maybe an hour there. After that, go back to the street where the cab lets you off, where all of the carriages are. And there are usually about 10, 12 horse-drawn carriages that will take you on tours of the French Quarter. So what you want to do is take an hour tour, carriage ride tour through the French Quarter. And these tours are great because they give you all kinds of, you know, the weird things that's happened in the French Quarter, the history of the French Quarter, you know, just
scandals.
Scandals, the architecture, you know, just everything. So you really get a lot of information about New Orleans, how it started, and how wonderful and unique the French Quarter was and still is. That'll be a very good hour spent. Then after that, when they stop right back there in front of Jackson Square again, you get a cab because they're everywhere, or you can get your Uber. And then after you finish your carriage ride, what you want to do is you want to walk to Antoine's restaurant, or basically you've got another hour, so you need to eat. Because if you go to New Orleans and don't eat at some of these great famous restaurants, I mean, you know, it's not as good as if you just do the must-dos and then forget some of the real gems. So I would suggest either Antoine's, which probably really is the most famous restaurant in New Orleans. I mean, there's so many famous people that have dined there. The menu has almost not changed at all since it's first started, you know, almost 200 years ago, or maybe even longer than that. It is like a museum in itself. I mean, Antoine's is like no other place in New Orleans. That is a very good choice. Or you could go to Galatoire's. Galatoire's is a happening restaurant in New Orleans. This is where the New Orleans upper crust go, people who come from out of town. I mean, Galatoire's is full of life, full of fun. If you want to celebrate anything, you go to Galatoire's to celebrate it. I mean, people love it so much, they have their own personal waiters that have worked there, that have helped them for the years that they've been there. I mean, there's no place like Galatoire's either. So that's a little different experience than Antoine's, but still very New Orleans. The last restaurant that's in the quarter that if you only have an hour it going to and you don't want exactly an Antoine or Galatoire's experience, Brennan's. Brennan's is fabulous. It's got a courtyard with jazz in there. If you go during happy hour times, you know, they even have a champagne happy hour Monday through Friday. But you really get it. All three of these restaurants, that good Creole cuisine. So pick one of those three. I don't want to tell you which one is better because they all are equally just fabulous. So that's how basically I would tackle 3 hours in New Orleans, because what you've seen and experienced in this little time, you've seen the historic architecture, the street music, the artisans, some of the boutique shops. I mean, New Orleans is probably one of the best cities in the United States still that has thriving boutique shops. I mean, Amazon and the internet have not, and you know, killed the boutique shops in New Orleans. Now, the malls, it's hurting the malls, but the malls are really outside of New Orleans. They're more pretty much so like in the Metairie area. But so you then you've got you felt the joie de vivre of the city basically, and in this 3 hour time, you've got a snapshot into the soul of the culture that was and still is going strong. So like I said, you'll take the tour, you'll eat, and then while you've done all this, by osmosis, there's people watching involved. And in New Orleans, I'm telling you, New Orleans is a great place for people watching, because you will see sophisticated people. You will see the weird. You'll see the wild. You will see everything in New Orleans. All kinds of different people expressing themselves freely with how they are. There's, you know, in New Orleans, New Orleans just has a way of being kind of authentic in so many things. And you'll see that in the people and how they dress, et cetera. So go to the French Quarter. I mean, you're in the heart of it, you know. So in 3 hours, this is how you can get the culture, the essence of New Orleans, and, experience really what New Orleans is all about. So, I hit those things like I was telling you at the beginning of the show, that you're not just sightseeing, you're getting more than all of that.
Experiencing, yeah.
Yes.
Very good. I love it. I love that 3 hour. And that's kind of what I was hoping for, is like, and really listeners can apply that to any city that they're going to, that how to kind of get into that essence right away with their, whatever time they have.
Absolutely.
You know, you were very insightful, because my inspiration for this, part of the inspiration for this whole show, is a friend of mine had a layover in Paris, an 11-hour layover. And he had more of an adventure in Paris in 11 hours than some people I know who've gone there for a week. He was just like determined. He did it all.
Yeah. And Paris is very, it's a lot bigger than New Orleans.
Sure.
But it's similar. It has these neighborhoods.
Correct.
And key things. So if you focus on, you know, one part, like you can go in the area of Rue de Rivoli next to the Tuileries Gardens, and then go to Place Vendôme, and then eat somewhere. And if you're at the right place, you can walk over the Seine and go into the left bank on Rue de Bac. I mean, there's a lot in certain key zones.
Concentrated. Yeah.
If you know what you want to do,
right,
you go and you hit it out, and you can really do it walking in metro in Paris. So, but if you don't do your research and you don't know how to do it, you might as well just go in there and eat. Because you're just going to be kind of like a lost goose.
Okay, so you did very well there, Astrid, with the 3 hour chunk. But how about this? The classic extended weekend, 3 days. How can we put together a really great 3 day trip?
Okay, now for a 3 day getaway, being centrally located, that's just kind of what we're talking about, is key. I mean, you have to stay somewhere, your hotel or your Airbnb, that is ideally near most of what you want to do and see, that will really give you the culture of the place that you're, that you're visiting. And next, you should create some kind of what I call flexible but focused itinerary for every day. Because if you don't, you'll kind of wake up later and then you'll say, oh yeah, I think I want to do this, blah, blah, blah. You should really kind of, before you even leave, know, okay, day one, I'm going to do this, day two, day three. I know that sounds a little, obsessive, but it's the best way to keep yourself focused, because that's one of the things when you're a solo traveler. I mean, you're responsible for everything. So the more you're prepared and focused, the execution will be a whole lot better. Okay, so here's my three-day in New Orleans game plan. First of all, stay in the French Quarter. I mean, they have Airbnbs in there, but I would really suggest if you only have 3 days, stay in one of the old historic hotels like the Hotel Monteleone or the Bourbon Orleans or the Royal Sonesta. I mean, these are all wonderful hotels. They're very New Orleans. They're affordable. And, I mean, they're well located. So you can walk to most everything that you'll want to do. Okay. But I have to say this. I like them all, but I think the Hotel Monteleone is really the best one because it's extremely beautiful. It's actually still owned by the same family, the Monteleone family that's owned it for over 100 years. They cherish this hotel. They keep it upgraded constantly. The rooms are beautiful. The restaurant is wonderful. The carousel bar is like one of the it places in New Orleans for residents as well as for people visiting the city. Now that's hard to do.
That's unusual.
In a place like New Orleans that, you know, drinking and having a good time is like, you know, one of the themes.
Core values, we can say.
but this carousel bar has been this way for decades and decades. So, and then it has a great spa and a rooftop pool. So it's just, it's a jewel, to tell you the truth. Okay. So day one, I would say explore the quarter, the French Quarter. Like I shared on the 3 hours, go to Jackson Square. You have a little bit more time, so you might want to pop into St. Louis Cathedral. That's a very old Catholic church. I'm not sure if it was the first one, but it's beautiful. And, you know, New Orleans still has a big Catholic kind of consciousness in many ways. So, if you're interested in churches, it's beautiful. So pop in there. Then, let me back up. You should have breakfast, which is right across the street from, Jackson Square at Cafe Du Monde. And you can walk from the Hotel Monteleone to Jackson Square like in, oh, it's probably 10 minutes at the most, more like 7 minutes. But Cafe Du Monde is very famous. Have some beignets and cafe au lait. I mean, everybody who comes to New Orleans, that's usually on their must-do list, is to try to get some beignets with powdered sugar so it's all over you. and just enjoy yourself there. They have areas for outdoor dining and indoor dining. And it's such a historic place. Oh my gosh. So eat breakfast there, then go across the street to Jackson Square and do the Cabildo, maybe go into St. Louis Cathedral. Then after that, you want to go back to where Cafe Du Monde is, which is, you know, it's like 2 minutes. And then you want to walk along the river and it goes south, basically south. New Orleans is so weird because it's called the Crescent City. You think you're going south and you're really going north. That's why when you get to your hotel, you need to get a map start plotting where all this stuff is. But I'll just say hopefully I'm correct, go south from Cafe Du Monde towards and you go through some beautiful old kind of stucco open air Caribbean feel like shops, and then you'll hit the French Market. French Market, I mean, this here again is so old, so historic, but it is still going strong. Not only with the beautiful produce and fish and everything, you've got wonderful little small vendors who make some really great things to eat. Like there's the best grilled spice corn on the cob.
You've talked about this corn before. You love it.
I love this corn. And I mean, they have all kinds of like handmade or homemade Italian cookies, seafood dishes, you know. Oh, I mean, it the food there in the French Market, and you can sit, it's like a covered, it's stuccoed covered big building. You can sit and eat, and it's so New Orleans. That's all I can say. Then they've got all other artisans that are there, people who make, you know, jewelry and soap and all these kinds of things, little artwork, and some of it is really nice. Then you've got your less expensive vendors that sell everything cheap. Well, you can find some cute stuff in there, too. I mean, I'm not opposed to, you know, buying a dress, a maxi dress for $12. You can find it there. It is actually kind of cute if you style it up with some jewelry. But you'll find that there. So, you know, it's worth going to see that because it is very historic in there. And you can feel, you can see how, you know, a long time ago they'd say, you know, oysters, oysters. Mm. It was all going on down there. Okay, so after the French Quarter, walk two blocks over. And like I said, you'll have your map. So, but just try to visualize this. Walk two blocks over to, I guess it would be, I don't know, west, and you will hit Charter Street. Now, there are three main streets in the French Quarter that you need to explore when you're exploring the French Quarter. It's Charters, Royal Street, and Bourbon Street, because these are the keys. So get to Charter Street and go up. You'll see it on the map.
It'll make sense.
Yeah. Go towards Canal Street. That's how I will say that. But on Charter Street, it's wonderful. It has lots of art galleries, boutiques, some restaurants. Beautiful. I mean, you'll see the real architecture on how it's, in the French Quarter with the shops at the bottom and the elegant residences on top of the shops. So now some of them have been split up into condos, and they typically don't go higher than three story. And they have the large verandas and the wrought iron balconies, and it's just beautiful just to walk. Well, then you get to the corner where it's actually very close to Antoine's, but it's on Charters, near across from the Supreme Court building, which is gorgeous, Napoleon House. You should have lunch or a drink or something at the Napoleon House. This is a very small restaurant bar that it doesn't look like they have done any interior design updating in over maybe 200 years, but it's clean and it's so authentic New Orleans. And I personally like to have lunch in the courtyard, because they have a beautiful courtyard, real lush with the bromeliads and the ferns and everything that you can think about New Orleans courtyards, a fountain, birds. But I love their shrimp remoulade there and their stuffed avocado with a great glass of wine, or they have wonderful cocktails there too. I mean, New Orleans is a cocktail capital of the world. If you like cocktails, come to New Orleans. They have the cocktail festivals. They do all kinds of, they even have cocktail school on how to do all kinds of craft cocktails, and not just because you want to be a bartender. This is just for your own, you know, like cooking school. So, but Napoleon House is really, really classy in a real historic way. I mean, there are other places in New Orleans, but this is about as authentic, that hasn't changed, that's still so popular. And that's amazing. That's amazing. I mean, we could go the distance with like Paris with that. I mean, I'm serious. So Napoleon House, I would highly recommend. Okay. So then after that, you want to walk one more block over going west and hit Royal Street. Now, Royal Street is like Charters, but it's a little fancier. I mean, it's probably the fanciest street in the French Quarter in terms of buildings and residences, etc. And that's where they have these out-of-this-world antique shops. I mean, when I tell you out-of-this-world, we can compete with Paris with these antique shops. Boutiques, then lots of antique jewelry, too. If you like antique jewelry, New Orleans is the place to come. People in New Orleans love antique jewelry. So you'll find it in the Quarter. You'll find it on Magazine Street. And you'll even find it in auction houses. Mm. I mean, New Orleans has a couple of auction houses that have monthly auctions. And they always have beautiful jewelry in it. And the ladies in New Orleans, for hundreds of years, have loved jewelry, and some of their children don't like the same style. So there's a lot of antique jewelry that is for sale in New Orleans that if you like it, it's there. Also on Royal Street, you have the historic New Orleans Collection, which is basically a museum in a big, beautiful old mansion, courtyard mansion, that gives you so much information about the history of New Orleans. You'll see, you know, old portraits and information and furniture, and I mean, it's the way they dressed and everything. If you really like history, it's worth to spend an hour and a half in there. If you don't, you can just browse through it in 30 minutes. It's still worth your time. That's why I'm mentioning it. You'll see some things in there that'll help you put everything all together. Then after that, the Hotel Monleon, if you're staying there, is right there on Royal Street. So walk to your hotel, R&R, every day. You've got to give yourself some R&R time. You know, whether you're a three-day, 3 week, or whatever, R&R every day is important. Kind of similar to the way you are at home. I mean, you might not have the luxury at home if you're still working, but even then, you take breaks. So go back to your hotel, relax a little bit, take a shower or whatever, and then that night, you got to go down Bourbon Street. I mean, just for a little. Now, it's not as raunchy or as decadent and dirty as it used to be, because unfortunately, there are more of these little shops that are everywhere. But it's still got that feel, and there's music blaring out of everywhere, and there's drinking going on, so you just have to kind of know that. But you gotta at least say, I've been there, done that. For dinner, Galatoire's is on Bourbon. That is here again. I mentioned that in the 3 hour as one of your choices. That'd be a great choice. Or Antoine's is right off of Bourbon Street, just a couple of, I think about 4 blocks from, if you're staying at the Hotel Monleon. If you're staying at the A Royal Orleans, it's much closer, but nothing's far from each other in the French Quarter. So have a wonderful meal. Take your time and really get into dining the way people in New Orleans dine. And they really do dine. They don't just, you know, 45 minutes. They're like 2.5 hours. They want a completely eat and get loose. This is New Orleans for you. And then after you eat, you should experience a little bit of the music. If jazz is not your if jazz is your thing, go to the Preservation Hall. Or ask your concierge where, say some of the best musicians are playing that night, because they move around to a certain extent. You'll also, want to probably, or you can either just go to like Brennan's or somewhere in the courtyard and have a couple of drinks and listen to the music, or, Pat O'Brien's is another, it's touristy, but it's still so New Orleans that if you know before you're going, you can get yourself a hurricane, but don't have more than one because it gives you a bad headache the next day. But it tastes good when you're drinking it. But also, you might want to go to Jean Lafitte's. That's the oldest bar in the United States. It might even be the oldest building now in the United States. It's kind of cattywampus, but it's still. Standing, going strong, and right next to it is Marie Laveau's Voodoo Museum. If you want to drink it.
Oh, that's scary.
And then after that, you need to go back home and go to bed. But that's your first day. Do it in the French Quarter. That's day one.
Oh,
but,
boy.
But if you know where you're going, and you follow the map, and you don't shop too much in those shops, you can do all of it. Trust me, you can. Okay, day two. Have breakfast at Brennan's. Brennan's is so famous for its breakfast and the way that they do their, fancy eggs and just everything and flaming dishes. I mean, and then a lot, their milk punch, and it's just so, New Orleans, there's just nothing like New Orleans. I can tell you that. But, and then a lot of times if it's a little later, especially on the weekends, you can have jazz music coming through the restaurant itself. But it's a beautiful place, and they have actually in the last 2 years completely redid the interiors, and it's spectacular now. It's so refined and warm, elegant. It's an experience. So breakfast at Brennan's is really one of these must-dos, kind of like food experiences in New Orleans. So start out day two at breakfast at Brennan's. Then after that, you got you want to walk back to zone, basically the heart of everything. Go back to Jackson Square, okay? Head back there. Then go towards the river. You'll see the levee. And go up on the levee, because the levee is like, it's a really nice walkway now that they've done. And walk along the river going north, or basically going to Canal Street, and watch the river traffic. I mean, it's beautiful to watch. They've got benches out there, and, it's a very nice early day activity to do. You'll just, it's just the majestic of it all. I mean, this is what made New Orleans famous, is this port. So, and you'll see huge tankers go through there and ships and all kinds of stuff. And it's quite nice. So once you get to Canal Street, which Canal Street is New Orleans' Champs-Élysées. Now, it saw some bad times until really after Katrina, and people have really started. Well, you'll see in New Orleans now. I mean, after Hurricane Katrina, and New Orleans really almost did become a has-been city. This New Orleans is nicer now than it's been in probably 100 years, because so much money has been put into there to the revitalization and the redevelopment and the refurbishing of everything in New Orleans. Well, St. Charles Avenue is becoming what it used to be again. So at the end of St. Charles, right there at the river, and you'll see the aquarium. Now, If you like aquariums, you can go in it. It's really kind of more for kids, but it's nice. You have two options if you want to shop. You on the right, you've got Canal Place Shops, which they have one of the best Saks Avenue stores in the United States there. It is not that big, but the buyers in there and the merchandise is great. And New Orleans, people in New Orleans love to dress. So, and they don't have to be real fancy dress, but even their casual dress, they like to dress. Plus, because there's so many visitors that come to New Orleans for conventions, business, etc., you know, Saks gets a lot of, you know, business. So this is a great Saks Fifth Avenue. Now they have a lot of the upscale shops in Canal Place. Mignon Faget is a very famous New Orleans name. There are others in there. If you want the upscale experience, Canal Place is it. If you want the outlet experience, on the other side of Canal Street along the river is the Riverwalk, which the Riverwalk has Nordstrom's off the rack. It's got all the best brands outlet. So, like I said, there's so many tourists and visitors that come to New Orleans who, you know, want a little retail therapy, and that's why there's such a wonderful outlet mall, and it's quite nice, right there in the heart of New Orleans. So it's great. So if you want a little retail therapy for a couple of hours, either place is good, depending on your budget. Now for lunch in that area, right there along the river, you either have Poppy's Lobster, which is an open air. It has, you know, a roof over it, but you can see the river. They, you know, always have music, the fans overhead, because typically it's kind of hot, except in the winter. And a great lobster. I mean, you know, he puts on a big bib for you. And we love seafood down here in Louisiana. So, I mean, if you don't want lobster, there's seafood towers, there's everything. But Poppy's Lobster, I mean, you know, lots of people like Poppy's Lobster. The other suggestion would be Drago's. Now, Drago's it's actually in the Hilton Hotel. But they are so famous for their seafood, especially their charbroiled oysters and their gumbo. I mean, Drago's the food there is so good when it comes to seafood and kind of that New Orleans type of, it's not really Creole cuisine, but it's kind of a mixture of Italian and Southern and that kind of thing. So highly recommend that. Okay, so after you've done that, you want to walk down Canal Street and you want to go west. You experience a little bit of the Champs-Élysées of New Orleans till you get to St. Charles Avenue. And there you want to catch the streetcar. Now, there's a streetcar that goes up Canal Street, and you can do that. That one just goes up and down, and it's okay. But you don't need to do that. Just walk to St. Charles Avenue and get on the green streetcar, because there are red streetcars and green streetcars. Get on the old-timey one that has got the wood seats, that the back flips, you know, one way and the other, depending on which way they're going. And take this streetcar down St. Charles Avenue. St. Charles Avenue is one of those, it's like our Park Avenue or whatever. They have so many gorgeous mansions along St. Charles Avenue that, I mean, this is one of the premier streets in probably in the United States to really own real estate. There's so many wealthy people that own homes there that don't actually even live there because they're so gorgeous. And it's a beautiful street, and it has Tulane University, Loyola, Audubon Park. And it's just fun to ride the streetcar. The, you know, the windows are open, bing, 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 and they stop. And I mean, you know, and people who live in New Orleans really use it. You know, it's not just a tourist kind of thing. They actually use it. So ride it all the way to the end and then ride it all the way back. And on the way back, stop at the Collins Hotel. Now, the Collins Hotel is like a big mansion that now is a hotel, and they have a very popular bar there that the people in the Garden District and Uptown who live around there love to go and sit on the veranda and have cocktails or wine or light plates, or if they're inside, they're just hooting and hollering in a nice kind of, you know, New Orleans way. It is like one of the things to do when you go to New Orleans. So, you know, take some time to do that. Then after that, get back on that streetcar, ride up to Canal Street. Then you get off, you walk a few blocks. If you're staying at the Hotel Monteleone, you're right there. So rest. Get your R&R after all that in day two. Then at night, I would suggest Commander's Palace. This is another one of the top four restaurants to do in New Orleans. It is beautiful. It's in an old mansion in the Garden District of New Orleans, and I can't hardly explain it. You have to go there. Even when you walk in, I love when you see, you've got this gorgeous toile mural in white and black, and it's all of New Orleans scenes. It's not French scenes in toile. It is New Orleans. I mean, this place is so beautifully decorated in a warm, upscale New Orleans way. It's wonderful, you know, from the black lacquer stairwell that goes up to the second floor. And you've got the musicians that come along. If you happen to be there on Saturday during brunch, I mean, they're second lining in the restaurant. And this isn't just like, you know, a restaurant where you go in with flip-flops. I mean, people are dressed up, you know. But it's another place where people celebrate life. They celebrate big things in life. I mean, when my daughter graduated from law school, we had, you know, we went to Commander's. If we're having a real bad time or a bad family event, we go to Commander's to make ourselves feel better. I mean, it's just one of those places that, I mean, it just gives you that good shot that you need.
I would like to cash in some of my chips and say this is a must-do for New Orleans, is Commander's.
Oh, yeah. It is a must-do. I mean, even from when you pull up, it is painted in turquoise blue with white trim, turquoise blue and white awning that goes down. Anywhere else, this would look so stupid. And say, boy, they need to tone that down. But it is so, it just got, it's magic. That's all I can say. So you've got to treat yourself to that. Then head back to the hotel. You're not ready to go to bed yet because you got to go to the carousel bar.
My favorite.
You have to go in there and either sit on the carousel because it has a real revolving carousel, or anywhere in the bar. It's beautiful. And they always have live entertainment. I mean, and it's, let me see this, tell you, the scene is going on in the carousel bar. And, you know, what's so great for solos, especially if you're staying at the Hotel Bottleon, you know, it's all safe there. You know what I'm saying? The hotel, first of all, is so well run. And so you can linger there, and you don't have to feel like you're, you know, looking for trouble or something like that. You can really sit there and enjoy yourself, people watch, have a glass or two of wine, and experience the New Orleans rather than going up into your hotel room. It's great, okay? So, but after that, you need to go to bed. Now, day three, you start out breakfast at Mother's. Now, Mother's is not actually in the warehouse district or in the in the French Quarter. It's really what's called the CBD, which is, this is right where all the, most of the real international office space is along Poydras Avenue. And Mother's is right there. It's right by the Windsor Court, which is another fabulous hotel. But so it's right between Canal Street and it's the next street over is Poydras. So you can walk from your hotel. It's no big deal. If you're staying in the Hotel Monteleone, you can walk to Mother's. Now, Mother's is just like it sounds. It is a down home place. They got the best grits and eggs and bacon and anything you want to eat. If it's at lunch or dinner, fried chicken, gumbo, saute or cooked down vegetables. I mean, it's just down home cooking. Biggest brownies you've ever seen. You get one brownie and can feed your family. They're not skimpy on portions. Po' boys, the juice is running all out. So, I mean, Mother's, you need to do that. And breakfast is quite good. So head on over to Mother's. Then you got an option. You can either go take an Uber or a cab out to City Park, which is quite beautiful, and go to the New Orleans Museum of Art. It's a fabulous museum, and it's worth it. But if you don't want to do that, you can go. What's so wonderful about Poydras is right on the other side, you've got what's called the Warehouse District. Now, the Warehouse District was dead until after Katrina, and then all these developers that who had had these warehouses or these families who housed stuff, outside money came into New Orleans to redevelop it. So they decided they were going to change those warehouses and make it to a real neighborhood with all kinds of new, wonderful places to live, eat, art galleries, everything. So I'm telling you, the Warehouse District is wonderful and getting better by the second. So, if you don't go out to the New Orleans Museum of Art, you can go to the Contemporary Art Museum that's in the Warehouse District, the Ogden Museum of Southern Art, which is fabulous. They have a glass-blowing place that's wonderful that you can either buy stuff or watch them blowing glass. There's also, well, if you're a history buff, there's a World War II museum. It's supposed to be, I mean, oh. I've been when it first opened, and I mean, it is so moving, even if you don't like war. I mean, it's so well done. So it's all right there in the Warehouse District. And then on top of that, you've got art galleries on Julia Street. So it's a real, it's a special place. It doesn't feel like the French Quarter, and it doesn't feel like the Garden District or Uptown. But it is likewise cool. It has lots of interesting things to do. Now, after that, after you've done one or two of those things, you get into an Uber and head to either Shia, which Shia won the best restaurant in the world last year, or 2017 or maybe 16. Oh my God. This is a restaurant that is unbelievable. It focuses on Jewish cuisine, oddly enough, but on a very upscale but earthy. Oh, the food there is just like, I mean, it's really a religious experience, even if you're not Jewish. It is so good. So that's an option. Or if you want to get a real uptown Garden District lunch experience, there's a neighborhood restaurant called Lillette's. Oh, God, I love Lillette's. And the owner actually won Chef of the Year, too. I think it was last year or whatever. Not world famous like Shia and John Besh. I mean, John Besh is not involved with Shia anymore, but he was. But it's still great because the same chef who started Shia is, well, his name is Shia, but is still the owner of it. But, oh, Lillette's. Oh, my gosh. It's very French, very Southern, limited menu. I mean, things like fish with the head and the tail on it and just cooked to perfection. Wonderful salads, homemade, hard, wonderful bread, great wine list. I mean, it doesn't have a big menu, but everything on it is so good. I mean, you're happy to be alive when you eat at Lillette's. So, and now both of those places are on Magazine Street. And that's where I want you to be in the afternoon, is on Magazine Street, because that is one of the motherlode streets of New Orleans for boutiques. I mean, really nice boutiques. Shops that have just silver, like, you know, antique silver and regular silver for tableware, etc. I mean, clothing boutiques, jewelry boutiques, just you name it. It is on Magazine Street, and it's got to be good or it doesn't make it in New Orleans. See, New Orleans is got a taste that is pretty strong. I mean, it has to really be good in a New Orleans way. So I'm telling you, you will not leave Magazine Street without buying something. It is a lots of fun. So I would say blow it out on Magazine Street. Then after you're sick of that, and if you go either way, north or south on Magazine, it doesn't matter because it's just block after block after block. And then there are beautiful homes in between. In fact, my daughter's law office is on Magazine Street, right close to Lillette's. So Magazine Street is really, besides St. Charles Avenue, is the uptown and the Garden District. So I guarantee you're going to be tired after this is day 2.5. So you'll want to go back to the hotel and rest. For the evening, don't do a whole lot. Just go, I'd say, probably one place. I would recommend, like, there are two neighborhoods that are really coming back now called the Marigny and the Bywater. And they are basically south of the French Quarter. You have to be careful in these neighborhoods because there are pockets of areas that are unsafe. And in New Orleans, wherever you are, there are pockets in all the good areas that are unsafe. So when you come to New Orleans, one thing you have to do is you have to ask your concierge, what are the areas that I need to avoid? Plus, I have blogged about it on my website. And also, I don't think I've done a podcast on safety tips in New Orleans, but I have several on my website. So look at those because they will help you avoid making yourself vulnerable.
I'll put a link in the show notes.
Yeah. Well, go to one of my top suggestions is spend your evening at Bocknell in the Bywater. I mean, this Bywater area is so cool. I mean, Harry Connick Jr. spent a lot of money in there. Wilton Marcellus or the Marcellus, they have lots of creative venues in terms of fostering New Orleans talent. So Bocknell's is a place, it looks like an old house store on the corner that is like almost at the end of the road. You have to take an Uber there or a cab and take one back. There's no walk into Bocknell. But you go in and you buy your bottle of wine. They have great bottles that you can choose from, or you get your alcohol, and it's kind of like self-serve. You buy that, and then you go into this courtyard where everybody sits. They have some canopies, et cetera, if it's kind of lightly raining. And then you can order light plates. They have fabulous charcuterie plate, just, you know, good little appetizers. I mean, the food there is so good. Not a lot of things to choose for, but I mean, wonderful compliments to either some really good wine, or the wine is what they specialize in, but they have champagne and port, and they have everything. But they have live music there every night. Mm. And I mean, this is where people go to really relax and hang out. And you don't have to dress up there. I mean, you'll see people kind of dressed up, but not as much. You know, the outside floor is all little pebble rocks. You know, it's in the wrought iron furniture and it's very eclectic. I mean, you'll see all kinds of different types of people. It is so with it. It's so cool. So I really, and you won't feel bad as a solo traveler because in New Orleans, you know, there are lots of people who are kind of solo or by themselves. They like to do that. So you got all these little tables and you can sit by a tree and this kind of thing, you know, talk to the tree. Right. No, I'm kidding. But you won't feel uncomfortable. And you probably will meet people there. I mean, it's just that kind of place. It's very, it has a good vibe there. I mean, I love it. I go there, you know, at least, every other month when I go to New Orleans, because I go to New Orleans a lot. The other option you could do, which is a little bit more lively, is Frenchman Street. And Frenchman Street is south of the quarter in the Marigny. It's a little bit more edgy. It's got a lot of like drinking, and it's really like New Orleans used to be before New Orleans got, I mean, Bourbon Street got so commercialized. So, and there's even art galleries and art stuff that can be bought along there at night. So if you want a music experience and just walk down Frenchman Street, you can. But personally, I would do Bachno because I think Bachno is really good. Okay. So, Catherine, I know that was long. I'm trying to talk fast, but New Orleans is just so ooh la la. I can't help it. I mean, because it's just great. That's all I can say. So I'm trying to be concise, but I don't want to miss out some of the things that I think really everybody should treat themselves when they come. So the 3-day game plan basically will give you insight into the city's culture and how the real New Orleanians live and enjoy life. They're relaxed, fun-loving, with a tad of Southern elegance that is really unique to New Orleans. The architecture, the food, the music, the art, the great shopping. I've given you all of this in 3 days.
Yeah.
So, I guarantee you, and I would say 80% of the people that come to New Orleans or more, you come for 3 days, you're hooked. You're coming back. There's no way you could just do it once. I mean, I'm telling you. You'll go, I can't believe this is such a wonderful place. I mean, New Orleans is very, very seductive. So just be prepared.
Thank you for listening to Solo Travel Talk. Follow Astrid on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter. To learn more about Astrid or her solo travel advisors, visit her website, astridtravel.com.